The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. One in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours. Big show. Usual Suspects, ESPN on a Monday. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. Entertaining you, hopefully, till 4, then the Blitz till 7. Covered a little All-Star weekend, at least what you could stomach.
Which was none. I didn't, thank goodness, I didn't have to watch any of it. I can't believe you watched. So you watched the dunk contest, you watched the skills challenge, you watched the three-point contest, and the game?
The game I caught bits and pieces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And actually, it was on in the living room, and we were kind of all moving about the house.
Uh-huh.
But I would stop every now and then. I liked the three-point contest. So I did watch the three-point contest.
Okay.
And then everybody was kind of going to bed, so I was watching the dunk contest. And there were some good ones. But again, it's every year, it's how are you going to reinvent the dunk contest? At some point, it's like anything else. It runs its course.
It's like Monday movie moments with Trey.
You got to know when
to get out. You got to know when to pull the plug and always leave them wanting more, because I just feel like dudes are jumping over airplanes and it's just like hot garbage now.
Now, old boy jumped over Shaq.
Look, that was impressive. That was a bounce pass by Curry.
An amazing pass.
For an alley-oop to, was that the Greek Freak?
Yeah, who was 14. He got it at 14 feet at its apex above the square. But I'll say this.
See, that's cool, but that, to me, that's not the game. But whatever. I guess that could happen in real life, but I doubt it.
I'll tell you this, though. And
that just makes it more globetrotterish to
me. It would be interesting to see if anybody owns up to it, because the All-Star game is normally the experimenting ground for the NBA. That wasn't a regular NBA ball. Because the regular NBA leather ball doesn't jump off the floor like that. Even if you tried to spike it like that.
Steph Curry's pretty strong. He's a really big dude.
Yeah, that's another thing.
His nickname is Muscles, right?
That it flew over Durant's head by like a body and a half on his shoulders. He was going to go up to try and swat it, and he just stopped because he knew it was too high. It's like, that's not a real game ball.
And the problem is you see all that, and you know that they're not playing defense. I mean, that was Harden's typical defense. Hands by his side, just staring. Sorry, Matt Bullard. I know he's the greatest defender to ever play the game, but you watch this, and you see guys not defending, obviously. If you're throwing up an alley-oop, no one's going up to contest it because they don't want to get hurt. They don't want to hurt their fellow players that are in the game. So I guess as long as you go in with the mindset that you know what it is, it's an exhibition, it's all for fun, but it just feels like a cheapened version of a game. It feels very globetrotterish.
I think you have to get out. You get out of it what you put into it. If you're realistic going into it, it's just going to be an offensive game where there's going to be a display of some threes and some dunks that some of them you might remember. And the rest of it, for the most part, is just, it goes away in the wash.
Mm.
It's not that big of a deal. And Harden went away in the wash.
Yeah, I saw something about him being pretty passive about the whole thing. Was he just kind of playing the background the whole time?
He only took three-pointers. He would always pass the ball for the most part. I think it was 13 three-point shot attempts. He made 4, and I think he got 1 at the end of the game just to kind of make his mark.
And he lost interest. You know, he got one kind of blocked, and then he wasn't making them. And so he kind of just lost interest because he knew other guys were.
He had a three-pointer blocked?
If I recall right, in the first half, he got one kind of tipped or blocked, and he was, or he airballed it, one or the other, and he was just kind of like, meh.
Well, there's a big difference between getting it blocked and airballing it.
One way or another, it was an awful shot.
Oh, so you're saying it was tipped and caused it to airball.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant like rejected block. Like,
no, not
like,
the like kid from Minnesota did. But yeah, it just, to me, I think he looked at it and said, well, I'm not going to win MVP, so I'm done.
He probably. Is it me? And not to, I'm not switching gears completely here. Is it me, or has James been getting his shot blocked a lot lately?
I think it's such a big point of emphasis with how you stop the Rockets that people are watching so much tape now that they're picking up little idiosyncrasies of when he's going to load it up, when he's going to start stepping back. They know if you overplay the left hand, that's when the step back's coming. It always, because he's left-handed. They're finding a way to better defend him for sure.
I was thinking, I mean, I noticed that I feel like he's been getting his shot blocked more. And while I agree with you to a degree, I wonder if, though, the strategy is, you know what? Instead of putting a guy his same size, which, you know, if you're going to be a half a step behind plus the distance that he creates with that step back, instead of a guy his size, a shooting guard style, if we put somebody with some length on him, if we can switch defenders while he's up there up top and setting picks and so forth, if we can switch with a guy with some length, there's a better chance of blocking the ball. So it might be that defensively he's just getting guys that are bigger than him, guarding him. And defending that way, and it seems to be the formula, or the recipe at least.
I mean, I feel like for me, the key to getting a block on his step back is being quick enough to anticipate it. I feel like most big men on the perimeter are not quick enough to anticipate it. And even guys that are quick enough to anticipate it that are relatively his height or even a couple inches taller, they can barely get the block. That step back, it creates so much space, and it's part of the reason why a lot of people are so bitter towards them and want to call it a travel. Whether you want to believe it's a travel or not, that's a completely different debate. But it creates so much space. So you have to have a combination of two things. You have to have length, speed. Like, you have to be able to anticipate that step back, because it's hard to block a shot like
that. Plus, you factor in, he's like an option quarterback in the NFL, right at the edge of the line, right? He could run it himself. He could flip it in the back. So when he gets the big man on him and they're thinking, step back, step back, step back, he knows he can blow by them. He can blow their doors off. That's when he goes to the floater, or he goes all the way to the rim. And when he gets the younger, smaller, quicker guy, that's when he fakes the drive, which you have to respect.
Right.
The guy takes one step back. That's when he hits you with the step back with the two quick steps back behind the line, and he drops the three on you. So it's like he's in control, like an option quarterback, of whether he drives or shoots, and big guys just can't recover that quickly.
I would love to see, though, like, as far as his shots, how many have been blocked, and what I would like to see a graph of it, because I feel like it's up.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I just feel like if it is his shots getting blocked, I don't think it's the step back that's getting blocked. I think it's other shots
at the rim,
that perhaps
like
they set him up, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or at the rim.
No doubt he's getting blocked. I feel like a lot of them, too, are at the rim. But I do feel like a lot more of his step back threes in the last
month,
month and a half
yeah,
have been tipped at the line.
The other thing, when we talk about looking at tape.
Not at the line, but at the 3-point.
Okogie is the guy that they're going to look at now, because you put kind of a combo guard. So he has some height. He's got great length, but he's grossly athletic compared to anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And just how he defended him gave James fits.
Yeah.
So now they got tape on it.
Yeah. By the way, I looked up in our previous segment, we were talking about Rudy T and Bill Fitch. If Rudy T had coached as many games as Bill Fitch with his winning percentage, he would have been eighth all time as the most winning coach, ahead of Larry Brown, behind Phil Jackson. That's the company he would keep if he had the longevity of a Bill Fitch, if he had the opportunity. So,
yeah, you guys know where I stand. I've been on record for.
I think, man.
Regardless, he belongs in.
He should be in.
So, we'll continue to roll on. Plenty more on our list, but if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, hey, we're here for you. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel as we were talking about sports in the weekend, a little Rockets. The funny thing was, during Super Bowl weeks, there was NBA stories galore, stealing the spotlight from the NFL almost every day.
Yeah.
On the flip side, not so much, but there's one story that won't go away, and that's the Antonio Brown fiasco.
Mm.
And that got even worse and weirder this weekend because he decided to go on Twitter and just let fans start asking questions to which he was going to respond. And oh boy, he liked some things, he responded to some things, and he made some things a little bit stickier in Pittsburgh, for sure.
Yeah, the AMA, the Ask Me Anything, was interesting. But to start it off, there were some tweets, as reported by Busted Coverage, there were some tweets that existed where a couple of guys, well, one guy in particular, Kip_music, one of the tweets said, Pittsburgh Steelers fans be like, get rid of AB84, he hits women, but be like, Big Ben is my hero. Wait, didn't he rape two college girls? WTF, but Cap's still not signed. So Antonio Brown likes that tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one that says, thanks for the misleading info. Try this. Cap was accused and no charges. Ben never had charges stick because he settled money on the matter both times. Twice. And then Antonio Brown like that, too. So he's it's a smart like, though, if you think about
so
it.
So don't catch me liking. What's he got caught liking?
But the out here is pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I wasn't liking it because of the Big Ben rape allegation part of the tweet.
The Cap thing.
I was liking it because of the Cap part. I'm just down with Kaepernick. I don't care about the Big Ben thing. It's all Kaepernick for me. So strategic on his part, but it also just shows you, just, you know, even for us, you got to be careful what you do. There are people out there that they're literally just going to him and see what he's liking so that they can make a story.
Hunting and waiting. Just go ahead and press the button the wrong time. And then so he gets into the whole question and answer in the Ask Me Anything. And a guy says, what caused the conflict between you and Ben Roethlisberger? And he says, no conflict, just a matter of respect, mutual respect. He has an owner mentality. Like, he can call anybody, including coaches, out. Players know they can't say anything about it. Otherwise, they meal ticket gone. It's a dirty game within the game. Hashtag truth.
That's crazy. There's no doubt he's not coming back.
I was just going to say, there's no way now. He's supposed to meet with Art Rooney or Mr. Rooney, the owner of the team, next week. There's just no amicable way to have everything decided on and fixed and him back in a Steelers uniform next year.
I don't see how you get past this. There's too much going on off the field. He later went on to talk about getting basically benched. Somebody asked the question, you sat out our last game against mm-hmm. the Bengals. If you love the team so much, if you love the game as much as you say, regardless of your $70 million you made, you shouldn't be able to sit out so easily. He said, after the coach tells the team I quit while I'm nursing some bumps, they invite me to watch the show with the same guys thinking I quit. I cannot stand with that. I'm the bad guy, but we missed postseason. Think about it. So he's shooting shots, and I don't think this is something that you'd necessarily come back from, but I don't think he wants to be there anyways, which is why you say these things.
Right. It's just like the Antonio Brown thing, but a different way of doing it. Like, this is my way of finagling and finessing my way out of town. But when you think about it, both sides are to blame. Think about what the things he did. He cussed out an offensive coordinator on the sidelines. He did show up late for a game with a mink coat, blew off a practice. You know,
sweet ass coat.
You know, Tomlin, the one night post game, is addressing the team and he's live tweeting it and making fun of it. So he's not innocent by any means. But sometimes it's like a divorce of what was a happy marriage. Sometimes it's just time to move on.
Yeah. He's past his point with that team. And listen, he's not an angel. He's a selfish player. He demands the ball. And a lot of guys do. But, you know, I'm sure a guy like DeAndre Hopkins demands the ball because of how good he is. But there's ways to do that. And there's ways to carry yourself on the sidelines. And I'm not suggesting that DeAndre Hopkins is an angel on the sidelines. He probably goes up and says things. But he doesn't do it. He doesn't take it to that next level. He stays, you know, for the most part, you don't hear anything about DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, the bigger thing is he doesn't want to do it when the cameras are on because he's doing it for the benefit of the team. I think everything that Antonio Brown does, he's doing it because the cameras are on. And as they always say, no attention is bad attention. It could be for a negative on the sidelines. He loved just like Dancing with the Stars and all the different things he did. If it's about AB, then it's all about me, then I'm good, regardless if it's good or bad. And I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is that type player.
No, he's not. But you know he still wants the ball and he still wants his opportunities. But that's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't – look, what Antonio Brown is saying and doing isn't necessarily new.
No.
There are
Terrell
tons
Owens
of but there are also a lot of players that probably feel the same way he does. They just don't make it public. They go to the coach or to another player, to their quarterback behind closed doors or on the sidelines. They may just sit there and calmly talk about it. Be like, "Yo, I've been wide open. You're not looking my way. You got to look at." But it's different than the Dez Bryant route where you're screaming at people and all that. So I think it's not uncommon. And look, when you work with guys and you're around them every day like these players are. I mean, hell, the three of us spend a lot of time together and we don't always get along, but. You know, it's different if it happens, behind closed doors or if you don't make it public necessarily. So he's just going about it the wrong way. I don't blame him. I'm not upset that he doesn't want to be a Steeler anymore. That happens. I just think he's handling it kind of the wrong way. He's
lashing out. I completely agree with you because, look, everybody wants to win. And part of being great in any sport that you partake in is believing that you could make a difference. And if you're not getting the ball to make a difference, you want to do something about it. And to your point again, maybe in a film session, you could bring the head coach in or your OC and go, "See right there, and this is what I was going to wait till we're in here, but look at that." As opposed to, "Look at me, and I'm on the sidelines, and you don't have to be a professional lip reader to realize it's all about if you want to win, get me the ball. You know, this is on you," and cussing and everything like that. It's just there's two different ways to get about it, but he's going to get what he wants in the end because he wants to be somewhere else. But again, be careful what you wish for because you up on air like in Arizona with Josh Rosen as opposed to Ben. Like you said, they can have all the problems in the world off the air. But man, when they get on the field, they got a connection. And so like you were talking about, that's the biggest thing is be careful what you wish for. And here's the other thing, which I really didn't like. People are pissed off at Big Ben, who's no angel. But they're pissed off at Big Ben because he went on his radio show and said, "No, we're good. He didn't respond to some of my text messages, but when I talked to him Thursday, we were good." He tried to soft sell and downplay the whole, "We got into it at practice."
Trying to handle it like
now
a pro.
Now people are calling Ben a liar. But you know what he's doing?
He's
protecting his teammates.
And he's dwelling and handled it like a pro. You know, like if Nick and I were arguing and somebody was like, "Man, are you and Nick fighting?" I'd be like, "No, we're not really. We really like each other. We're not fighting, even though secretly I hate this guy."
And the other thing is
I was going to say, speak for yourself.
That's the other thing. The people think that if the media ask, you have to be honest.
Jerk.
It's none of your damn business.
No, it's not. It's none of your business. By the way, somebody texted the show and said, "You can tell Barry is the baseball guy." I love that, by the way. That you can tell Barry is the baseball guy. We all know the NBA All-Star Weekend is just a gimmick weekend where it's all grab ass and BS, and he still tells them to be more serious. No, I'm just saying I'm not watching it because it's garbage. I'm not telling them. I know what it is. I literally, the words that came out of my mouth is, "We know what it is," but I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to be like, "Oh, did you guys watch the game? It was great." No, I'm not going to be some idiot that tries to come on here and tell you what it's not, but I'm just telling you why I don't watch it, sir.
And the difference is the NBA owns it.
I stand by most of my basketball takes, so you can go back and check it too.
The NBA owns it. They know what they have, but they just have fun with it as opposed to the Pro Bowl. We got to change it again. We got to bring something else in because we know it sucks, and how are we going to make it different? No, it either works or it doesn't, but if you own it and you put the right entertainment around it and some of the other things that you get, the sideshows start to be prevalent, the dunk contest, three-point, you can get some run out of it, but accept it for what it is.
I mean, I said the same thing about the NFL. It's, there's definitely changes that need to be made. Really, the best All-Star game is, to me, is baseball and then hockey. Because I don't think the NFL and the NBA really put effort into the games for whatever reason. So that's fine. I think in baseball, you don't have to worry as much about injury. And you got guys like pitchers and hitters that, look, I want to get a hit off this guy. This is one of the best in the business. Guys aren't playing defense, so
football's different too because
you just gotta love haters.
You could lose your career trying to make a play where you're not going after a title, a ring, or some kind of
just
benefit.
An exhibition.
Yeah.
That's why I say they should just, honestly, they should make the game a flag football game. Mm-hmm. And you would literally get more effort out of guys in a flag game than you would with pads and helmets
on. Just don't
on.
Do it on the beach because then you can get even more
injuries.
That's
true.
So.
That's true.
Okay, we'll roll on. We're at the midway point of the show. We'll take a break, so can you. But come on right back because the second half is right around the corner. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books and 90 still to go. It's the big show, the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday coming off All-Star Weekend and a whole bunch of other things not sports related because, boy, oh boy, there wasn't a whole lot sportsy going on over the weekend, and I knew you guys would make fun of me because I watched golf.
I mean, that's not my deal. I don't necessarily like to watch golf, but yeah, I don't really care that you do. There's a couple of people that are big golf fans on this radio station. Granato is definitely one of them.
Yeah, and I love golf, always have, and when I can play, I love to play. But the thing that Tiger is a draw. So Tiger goes from, and there was so much rain, it was in Los Angeles this weekend. There was so much rain that, like, the Thursday round carried over to Friday and such. So after the second round, the cut line becomes a big deal. And if you don't shoot at the cut line or below, you're going to be left out. Well, he goes and birdies the last hole and secures a spot in the weekend, but he's like 10, 11 shots off the lead. Next thing you know, I get a tweet that says he's like 10 under. And it's just made this morale, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Now I want to watch because Tiger's involved. And of course, the minute that I started watching, he craps the bed and bogeys like three of the next four holes, and I go, I'm done. I'm off. I'm done.
Oh, just look at you giving up on golf.
Well, no, I started watching it because there was nothing else on. Yeah. And by the time, I will say this, though, and I know you, because you guys aren't into the golf thing, but you will appreciate this. Just like in anything else, like Rockets announcers, like you talk about with Bullard protecting Harden's defense, right? So the PGA with their announcers, because there's two different networks, so they're always in competition to make sure they don't piss the PGA off. So they don't really like to call guys out when they do something wrong or negatively.
Right.
The guy who won the tournament, JB Holmes, he is like, you could time him with a calendar, not a stopwatch. And the guys, you could tell the announcers were starting to get sick of it. And so as they went down the stretch, and they're fighting darkness because, you know, everything's been delayed.
Right.
And so the JB Holmes has two guys in his group. They all putt. They finish out. All of a sudden, he pulls out the green reading booklet, and then he starts talking to his caddy. And finally, they go, this is the kind of thing that JB deserves. Could you not have done all of that stuff while the other guys were putting so that you wouldn't take five practice shots and you wouldn't delay the turn? And I was like, oh, thank God. People, this is what golf needs, a little controversy and stir it up a little bit.
Well, if that's the version of controversy that golf puts forth, just somebody calling out a guy that obviously plays slow.
Well, in the golf's week got before, work to do. Sergio Garcia had two major tantrums where he destroyed part of a green, swinging the clubs, getting ticked off, and the players came out and blasted him.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, we should get full contact golf or something.
I wouldn't mind.
Get it going.
Dude, that would be great. You know what?
That?
They need more fights in golf. There needs to be more fist fights. Just like I said, the AAF should have on the field fighting like hockey. You want golf numbers up across the board? Fist fights. Anytime you have a sport that is lagging in ratings, fist fights. That's it.
Call it the AAF, as angry as, and just let them duke it out. Just let them duke it out.
Yeah, I think that would be, I would watch it.
I would too.
Absolutely. If Tiger Woods was just a haul off a mollywop, Phil Mickelson. Yeah, mollywop Phil Mickelson right there on the green. Like, what'd you say, bitch? What? I'd be like, oh, yes, I'm a golf fan.
Well, someone brought it up when we were talking about it would be, you know, we were talking about
irons involved,
miking up the players when they started getting into it and talking smack. And someone brought up when like Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy got into it. Sure, it's one thing when they're talking smack in the Ryder Cup, but now let's duke it out. Let's see how, because Patrick Reed gets knocked on for not being a physical specimen golf wise, but his fat ass could probably take down some people.
Boy, and you know, and then you get guys like Daly that get drunk and they'll fight anybody. Now they're fighting other people's caddies. So now you have to, like, you'd have ball striking, but then maybe if there's a guy who's a cheap shot artist, that's a different ball striking.
Yeah.
And so you'd have, like, you'd be keeping up with significant strikes in golf like you do in MMA. So I'm down.
I love old people, like, yelling at each other. I don't know if I want to see old people fighting.
Yeah, old people fighting is the best.
There's a bunch of young golfers now.
Okay.
Yeah, there are, and they're more better shape.
You wouldn't watch the senior PGA Tour if every round started with a fist fight. You wouldn't watch that. And then you were allowed so many like cheap shots in the middle of a swing. You just run up behind somebody, crack on the back of the leg with an iron. You wouldn't watch that? Oh, are you kidding me? That would be the best.
It'd have to be fake.
It would literally be Happy fake. Gilmore in real life. Like they'd be out there just fighting Bob Barkers of the world.
Well, that's what everybody wants. Oh, there should be more fights in golf because they saw that Bob Barker fight and they think that's how all old people fight. Barker was an anomaly.
I'm just saying in general.
Old man can punch.
Yeah, I can.
And the follow-up to the story we talked about last week on that, Matt Kuchar came back and decided to give the caddy $50,000.
Oh,
$50,000 extra.
Too late.
And then tried to soft sell it by going, you know, that's on me. I was hard-headed and I wasn't going to give in. And
no, you're a dick.
You know what you did? You got worried because stories started coming out of the woodwork of how long you've been doing this crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
cheap ass.
Got that one too. You reminded me too, and I can't remember his name, but there was a big man in the NBA that was known for being the guy that wasn't afraid to punch a guy in the nuts.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember his name. No, he had a beard like James.
It wasn't Dwight Howard.
He was a big man. I think he was from Iowa. But two or three times, he just decided that, like, at the free throw line, getting ready to go in for a free throw, pop you in the...
See?
Right there.
Get your mind off of it a little
Started bit. Stirring up.
And nothing wrong with
it. Because you think about it.
PGA, Physical Golf Association. Now it's just fighting. It's just...
People love that. About the whole Rondo and Chris Paul. They love that.
Yeah.
You might be onto something, Kamish.
Thank you. I'm telling you, add fighting to every sport.
Just fix the All-Star game that way. Get some fighting in there.
Dude, if you added fighting to... You wouldn't watch curling? If those little dudes are out there sweeping and somebody just comes out of nowhere, like it's WWE off the top rope and just smack, just cracks a dude in the head with a broom. Yeah. I'm all in. Gymnastics?
There wouldn't be any players left.
No, there would. They'd be tough. That's like saying there wouldn't be any fighters left in MMA.
When you crack somebody with a golf club on the top of their head?
No, not on the top of the head. There has to be
even
rules.
In their knee. It doesn't matter.
No, it has to be rules.
So you can hit somebody with a golf club is what you're saying?
Yeah. But not
that
like,
doesn't make any sense.
Why?
You can't hit somebody with a golf club.
Yeah. Okay, well, then keep watching your boring ass golf.
I'm not watching golf.
I am.
Okay, you can only use open hand strikes and kicks, but you could use kicks. That would be fun.
With golf shoes?
You want to retire all the golf players is what you want to do.
No, you could like get your caddy and go double drop kick somebody like the Rock and Roll Express mid-swing.
I mean, the poor guy, what's his name, J.B. Holmes, that he just underwent like brain surgery. You want him getting hit in the head?
He did?
I just said nothing about
J.B. Holmes.
The neck.
Yeah, he went through brain surgery. He didn't even know if he was going to play golf again.
Well, now he doesn't know when he's going to hit the ball because it takes him an hour.
Well, maybe it has something to do. Now possible. You want him to get into a fight.
It's possible. Barry does. I don't. I never was.
I want fighting in all sports. Gymnastics. See Simone Biles. She's standing in the corner with her hands up. Takes off running.
Vulgar.
Takes off running. Mean. And then somebody, like some other chick from Russia, just Terry Tate linebacks her while she's in the middle of her run, getting ready to do flips. Bam! Like, yes! That's what I'm talking about. Well, USA, like, bitch.
You remember
that would be awesome.
Then everybody have to get more protection. The pitcher last year from the White Sox that took the liner off of his head.
Right.
And the Yankees just signed him, and he's got a hat, mind you, that has a helmet built into the inside, and then it's the same kind of protection like in a football helmet, the shell and everything. But then it has a piece like a side view mirror, like the Google camera thing,
no.
that comes down the side. And he signed with the Yankees. And they're like, this is the hat. I'm cool with the hat itself, right, if it helps protect him. But the fact that he's got like a piece of plastic that comes down right on the side of his eye down towards his, I'm not digging all that.
So it's not a John Olerud situation where he's just
wearing
a helmet.
No, not a batter's helmet. This is like, it still looks like a hat.
What's his name? I want to see this.
Yeah, the Yankees just said, I'll find the article for you. But I was reading it. I was like, man, this is really cool and everything. Then they showed a picture and I was like, oh, hell no. He doesn't need to, like a rear view mirror to see the pickoff play at second base. It looks funky.
Yeah, I want to see this.
Okay, I'll find it.
I got to see how this looks. That would be interesting to me.
Yeah, it was crazy because I was like, I get it from a protection standpoint, but not so much that you look like, you know, your special needs pitcher that has got a rear view mirror to see what's going on. It's like a rear view camera. He's got it built in.
Speaking of baseball, Mike Moustakas headed back to the Brewers, $10 million deal.
Yeah.
And a lot of rumblings coming out of baseball from the commission stuff. We can get to that at some point in the show, too.
You're a baseball guy, Barry. We should get that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a totally baseball guy. There's no way I could ever make a comment on basketball just because I have comments about the All-Star game. Obviously, I don't know basketball. Obviously. Totally. Don't know basketball.
That's ridiculous.
Jesus.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We're going to step away for a quick break. Come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two, big show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel on a Monday for you in the big city. Lots, I guess, getting restarted this week. You know what's a pet peeve of mine, by the way, before we get off the All-Star game, too?
What?
The announcers. Boy, I'm looking for a big second half. You got 25 games left in the season.
It's not
the second half is at the 40-41 game left.
Yeah.
Boy, we're well beyond the second half, people.
Yeah, why don't they move it up?
I agree.
It should be as near to the 41 game mark for everybody as possible.
Because in baseball, it's close.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
So I'm with that because it was annoying to hear everybody go, God, I'm looking for a big second half from him. It's more like the fourth quarter.
Right.
I don't get that.
Barry, how in the world did you get a job on a sports talk show and you don't know basketball? Yeah, isn't that weird? Isn't that weird how that works? That's just crazy. They were just like, you know what? This guy, it's all based on my looks. It was all looks. It's just because I'm super handsome. We had to have at least one handsome guy on the show.
Fake news.
Just saying, That's what the deal was.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball going a little crazy, and I wanted to talk about it for just a sec because I thought it was interesting when Rob Manfred came out and was asked about free agency and the fact that it's been slower this year, and he basically just said, "No, there's deals out there, but when you guys come out and say, oh." There's this guy's worth this much 3 years in advance. You've also made the market difficult for people because the expectations are there. I don't know. Do you think that people speculating on what Machado would be worth or what Bryce Harper could get has affected free agency as for those guys? Or do you think it's just teams are like, no, our numbers say don't give a guy 10 years, $253 million anymore.
The more I started looking at it, the more I go back to the Kaepernick situation where the NFL denied collusion and everybody talking. I think baseball owners started talking. Mm. And I think they started saying, hey, prices are starting to get up there. And we see what's going on where we talk about with basketball. And Mike Conley Jr. never been an all-star making $30+ million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you and I were talking about a week or so ago, baseball's heading to a point where you should get the money up front. In your younger years, unlike the George Springer situation where you have to wait, the teams hold you back, and then by the time you want to get paid, they say, oh, you're past 30 now, so we can't give you as much, and
right.
The player gets screwed. I think the owners talk, and even though they're making money hand over fist, I think to some degree, I think there had to be some collusion in going, look, we're really headed for a really slippery slope, and a lot of us are going to be in trouble if we start making $300-$400 million contracts for some of these guys.
Well, and it's interesting because the Padres are reportedly have made an offer to Manny Machado for 8 years, $250 million. So a little over $30 million a year, but not quite 10 years like a lot of people thought. So now does he want to be a Padre? That's the question. Because you've got guys who are like, I mean, he came out and said, I want to be a Yankee. The Yankees are like, yeah, we're good. I mean, we're kind of okay. We don't, I mean, we can give you this, but it's not going to be anything worthwhile. So, you know, you can say where you want to go, but if teams don't want to pay you or don't have the need, it'd be like him saying, I want to be an Astro. I mean, they already have a Carlos Correa and an Alex Bregman on that side of the infield. You really, unless you maybe want to play first base or one of those guys do.
And the response from the Astros should be, at what price do you want to be an Astro? Because the thing is, just like we talked about with Antonio Brown, we talked about it with the NBA and the players wanting to get theirs, the ego gets involved. Scott Boras says, well, if you want him to be on your team that badly, add it, make it a 10-year deal. Make it $300 million because those are our marks. Those are the things that we set because we want to be the first. So they're more concerned with being the first $300 million man and being the first guy to get 30 a year for 10 years. Those are the kind of things that he, and he's got the player now brainwashed into thinking, that's what I deserve. That's what I'm worth. So when he doesn't get it, now you've got...
Well, the media is...
The media, right, runs with it too. So now you've got an agent that feels like my player hates me because I'm not coming through with what I said you were worth.
Right.
So I think that, but the overall, the bigger picture too is, not we're talking about the two guys at the top of the list, but there has to be something else behind the fact that there's 98 other guys there, and the Astros have two, Keuchel and Marwin. When you look at both of them and go, look, unless they're really just staunchly saying, I'm going to get, in Keuchel's situation, I got to get 5 and 100 or I ain't doing it.
Well, okay.
And now you're not doing it. And again, he's represented by Boras. Yeah. And if Boras started the process by going, Dallas, if we're patient, you're going to get 5 years and 100 mil. And now it's not coming true. Then so Boras doesn't want to be that guy.
Now more than ever, teams have data on pitchers. And they the data is good. And the ability to predict outcomes is getting better every year. And so you can know, this is what this guy really is. I mean, this was his numbers, and he had that anomaly of this year, but this is what the guy really is, and this is what you can expect. And it makes teams look at that and go, we're not going to pay that much.
And
our numbers tell us not to.
These guys are going to come back to the means. They're going to be back where they normally are, right? And Nick, to use a guy that is one of your favorites, but I think the Marwin Gonzalez situation is just like Clint Capela, because Marwin was in the perfect situation to show all of his versatility, play all these positions, got hot at the right time. And so a lot of people are like, we got to have Marwin. We need Marwin. So the market all of a sudden became between 16 and 19 a year for a utility guy.
Too much.
Way too much.
Yeah.
Just like Capela, who on a lot of, we said, what people are going, why isn't the Rockets going to make a trade with Capela to get Anthony Davis? Because Capela on any other team is not a centerpiece. He's a role player, but because he plays a certain specific role to a T and does it so well for this Rockets team, he got paid here as opposed to what he could make elsewhere, where people are going to go, he can't, offensively, he can't score.
And not only that, you realize too that in a way, with the NBA and a salary cap and luxury tax, if you can get value out of Capela at a much less price than an Anthony Davis and be able to spend that money elsewhere, that also makes sense. So not just the fit part, but the fact that sometimes there's value in a guy like a Capela.
Sure. But you look at it, and Chris Paul throughout his career, he made Tyson Chandler a $100 million man. Mm-hmm. He made DeAndre Jordan a $100 million man. Now you take those two guys and you put them in different situations where you don't have Chris Paul. Suddenly that double-double, that high pick and roll, those lobs to the rim, now they're going, well, why isn't he scoring 10 points a game?
Yeah.
Because you don't have the guy that you need to make sure that he does.
No, I'm with you. I don't disagree. There was one other thing that, baseball-wise, there was a report that this spring training, there's going to be a pitch clock. And I'm intrigued by this. I want to see how this goes. There's going to be a 20-second pitch clock for spring training games. And remember, we talked, I had read somewhere that is one of those things that Rob Manfred can introduce without having to get approval from the union or anything else. This is, he can say he can impose a pitch clock for the for pace of play and for the game itself. So it's going to be that's going to make me want to watch a couple of spring training games anyways, just to see. I mean, I'll watch a few just because I'm a dork when it comes to baseball and I'm trying to keep up with what's going on. But at the same time, I want to see how pitchers handle this. I don't think it's going to speed the game up all that much, but it's going to be interesting. It's a different wrinkle on it, especially if you combine a pitch clock with limited mound visits. Pitchers are really going to have to be prepped when they hit the mound. They're going to have their game plan in order, knowing not only how you're going to pitch to a player, but in each situation, how you're going to handle it. So if this guy's at the plate, this many men on base, up or down by this many runs, what do you want to do? All that's got to come into play and happen really quick. So it's going to put pitchers under the gun.
It really is. And the thing is, one, I like it because it's experimental. It's like I talked about, the NBA experimenting with the ball at All-Star Game, or they've done those kind of things. And if it's for the betterment of the sport and the fans, then fine, you know, keep experimenting. But just don't put it into play unless it's foolproof. Because in a lot of times, like when they put the new NBA ball in and it wasn't leather anymore, and then you had Vince Carter taking a half-court shot that was like a golf ball, the minute it hit the rim, instead of bouncing off and missing, it went zip, and the rubber grabbed the rim, and it just stopped and rolled in the basket, and people are like, that's not a pure shooter, that's just luck.
Yeah.
I think I like it, but again, it's like someone tweeted this weekend, you know, when you're going to play golf or watching golf, it's going to be between 5 and 6 hours.
Yeah.
You know, if you're watching baseball, no matter what you do and what kind of pitching matchup, you're talking 3 hours plus.
And the other thing is, if you're going to do it, has to make sense. Like a pitch clock makes sense. The whole garbage they came up with last year with the extra innings and a runner on second and all that, that last guy to bat is the first guy to run. That's just gimmicky to me. I don't know.
Here's the other thing. When you look out in center field, and no one explains it, but there's that clock between pitches, and it's supposed to be used between hitters. The umpires, no matter what, they'll say, hey, get in the box. But it's still going to take time. The hitter's going to go, what are you talking about? It's just not going to be effective.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, well, we'll see how it goes. But obviously, the good news is we're talking baseball. I think the first full squad workout is Thursday. So, for the Astros. So that means we're getting close to spring training games, and then baseball's right around the corner, and I love it too. That, you know, I know you're the baseball guy, but I'm looking forward to it because you and I love to chop it up on baseball.
So. I don't know why Pink Valkyrie said there needs to be an intervention for me. I don't know. What did I do?
For what?
I don't know. What did I do?
We're getting kind of a lot of off-base comments today on all the different electronic means.
Yeah. Somebody said, Riley said, tell that a-hole that was giving you bleep about talking NBA weekend to wait till March Madness, bitch. Yeah, if you want to talk about my lack of knowledge on basketball, it should be college basketball, idiot. You obviously don't listen.
Speaking of college basketball, a major topic for us, go Cougs. They won. They're undefeated all week. They got to move up in the polls again. They annihilated Tulsa. Nick, you were tweeting about it yesterday. Fact of the matter is, still with only one loss, that team at 9 last week should be heading up in the top 10 a couple of spots again this week. Should be fun.
Man, you pumped? You going to all the basketball
games? A
little
bit. I was watching it last. I mean, now it's, I mean, they're bringing attention. He's doing a good job of getting people that were not necessarily interested in the basketball program. Coach Kelvin Sampson and whoever else deserves credit is doing a really good job of bringing attention right now. And obviously, winning helps.
Yeah.
When you have one loss, it helps.
As much as he takes credit, the players are it, and the players are getting it done. Because after Rob Gray left, people had questions. They got answers. They're playing great basketball.
Yeah. I don't think Tulane even wanted to be there.
I was going to say,
that was a blowout.
If they'd have lost to Tulane, that would have been bad. That's a bad basketball team. That's the only thing I know.
They beat UConn before that, and Bobby Hurley's brother's on the sidelines. He lost his bleep over just a random call, and you're like, that dude's a little too intense.
Yeah.
But he's the only thing worth watching at UConn, so at least Calvin's got the Cougs on the map, and they keep rolling. All right, speaking of keeping rolling, we're going to do the same. We got 2 hours in the book, still got 1 hour to go. It's the final hour of the big show. It's coming up next. It's right here at ESPN 975.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.